This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Your number is 877-217-5757 if you'd like to join our conversation. And also you can send an email to talklouisiana.org. We start with Matt Siraj. Today's the 31st of January, and it is the 100th anniversary of the birth of Jackie Roosevelt Robinson, the man who broke the color barrier in baseball in the year of 1947. But he was born on this date in 1919, and it was in 1919 that Community Coffee began. And it is one of the oldest businesses alive and still thriving in Baton Rouge and now in 22 states. And good morning to you, Matt Siraj.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And second time in a week, earlier we had the dean of the Manship School, Martin Johnson, on. Second time in a week, we've had a classmate of Bobby Jindal. Same class, Baton Rouge High. That was quite a class in 1988.
Well, you know, it really was an exciting class. I think we've all reached that point of our lives where we're starting to truly make a difference and reflect on the gift that public education gave us here in Baton Rouge, produce a good class of individuals.
And when you were growing up, Community Coffee, that would have been in the 70s and 80s. Where was it located then?
Well, Community Coffee, when I was a child, was a single location. We had a roasting facility that was downtown on 3rd Street, and that's where the home office was. And we had just a limited headcount of employees there, but all the activity took place there in one single location for about 30 years.
And the original location, started by your great-grandfather, Norman Cap Siraj, was in a place called Dixie, Louisiana. Where was that?
Nobody will be able to find Dixie, Louisiana on the map today. It is just north of downtown Baton Rouge, and it's basically beneath ExxonMobil. So my great-grandfather moved up to Baton Rouge from the White Castle area with his brother to open a general store. They were building a mighty oil refinery there called Standard Oil, and they opened at the gates with a general store selling dry goods. And since then, the area of Dixie's been consumed, by the development of that refinery. But that was our introduction to Baton Rouge, about 1906, and also the beginning, the first steps of Community Coffee.
Well, I think when I enrolled at LSU in 1977, I could go to the Union and get a cup of coffee for 7 cents.
Things
have changed a little bit.
It has. And, you know, coffee is highly valued today. People talk about the $5 cup of coffee. You know, in reality, coffee is a luxury that costs much less. You know, the price that we pay for a cup of coffee, whether it's a dollar or for brewing it at home and it's 10 cents or 15 mm-hmm. cents, is really not much compared to the labor that goes into producing the product. It's a global product. You know, we import for about 20 countries around the world into the port of New Orleans to produce this product, and it takes years of labor until we ultimately deliver that one cup of coffee.
Those coffee beans come from 20 countries, and you just got back from Honduras.
Yes, I spent last week in Honduras. One of the great parts of what I do for Community Coffee is I get to travel to origin with our green mm-hmm. coffee buyer and meet the individuals who are growing our coffees or helping us to source coffees in different countries. And last week was particularly special because I was able to travel with one of my children, the fifth generation Siraj, as they get introduced to the coffee business.
Matt Siraj has been the chairman of Community Coffee since 2012. Community Coffee now in 22 states. And when you took the helm a few years back, 7 years now, I suspect you weren't in as many states as you are now.
No, the company has had tremendous growth. Really following 2005, we were probably in 8-9 states when Hurricane Katrina occurred. Following that, we realized that we really needed to grow, diversify our profit base. There was a demand for our product over a greater geography because, frankly, a lot of displaced Louisianians. So we began to grow rapidly into 13 and then 22 states. And we've held that footprint for a number of years now as our marketing area. It's, you know, Community Coffee is the coffee company that wants to be in all channels. So at your favorite restaurant, in a hotel, at your grocery mm-hmm. store, be widely available. So we are, filling out these 22 states as we also market the product nationally with some big accounts and the Amazon of the sorts.
What makes a good cup of coffee?
You know, coffee is a very personal thing. I think what makes a great cup of coffee is to purchase fresh coffee. It's the obvious answer is you cannot make a great cup of coffee with mediocre coffee beans, mm-hmm. and that includes freshness. And basically, you know, following some directions of the instructions on the 2 tablespoons per 6 ounces of water, you know, that's guidance. And you need to make coffee the way it tastes good to you. And if you want to know the scientific answer, it's 16 grams of water for every 1 gram of ground coffee.
Okay, 877-217-5757, and we're going to the phone lines in just a moment. But I thought this, in fact, we even talked about this question would come. This from Elise in the Garden District asking if you're going to follow Howard Schultz and run for president of the United States.
I've been asked that twice in the last 20 minutes. No. You know, I focus on our business. I'm focused on the growth that's ahead for Community Coffee, for the employees there and their needs are. And I prefer to step aside and let others take the headlines in politics. Mm-hmm.
Schultz has done rather well in his business ventures, though. But as we know, and I think we're finding out, running a government is a little bit different than running a business empire. David in Atlanta. Good morning, David. You're on the air with Matt Siraj, the chairman of Community Coffee. Hi, David.
Good morning, gentlemen. There's an article in this week's New York Times science section regarding, and I didn't know there are hundreds of strains of different coffees that grow throughout the world, but more than half of those strains are endangered over the next 20 years to disappear, and many of which where the best tasting blends come from. So it might be difficult in the years to come to get your best blend and your best taste from coffee should that article prove to be true.
David, I really am excited that you asked that question. Coffee is threatened by climate change. It's occurring. It's naturally occurring. We have coffee regions. About 40% of the world's coffee-growing regions will change over the next 25 years. And so coffee is migrating to different growing areas. And what that results in is a lack of diversity, a loss mm-hmm. of diversity. So there's an organization that our company is involved with called World Coffee Research, and its sole purpose is to ensure that scientific research propagates the diversity of coffee and that it's going to be a sustainable crop for the future. The threat to the industry is real, and it's not just climate change. It's economic instability. It's some of the factors that go into growing coffee disease, things such as that. But we source coffees from a broad geography, a lot of different countries, trying to keep what makes our blend unique and special. And so the diversity that David asked about is very, very important, mm-hmm. not only for the survival of the species, but for the uniqueness that makes Community Coffee.
Well, climate change. Most people wouldn't think coffee would be tied to that, but it makes sense.
Coffee is a very sensitive crop. It's a very old crop. Coffee is not grown in the United States, so it does not have the research behind it that corn, wheat, soy, other crops have great diversification and tremendous resources from the United States government to help those crops be planted around the world. Well, coffee is what we call an orphan crop. It is not produced in the United States, has not received that government funding. And so over its many hundred years of history, at least the past 150 years of being consumed here in the United States, it has not been invested in to make sure that it's diversified or disease resistant, that it really is a sustainable crop. So as an industry, nationally and internationally, our aim is to make coffee the first globally sustainable product. And not only at the farm level with proper research, mm-hmm. but also in farming practices so that it's sustainable economically and environmentally.
Well, we know through research that when we consume these sodas, we're not doing our health any good. When we consume alcohol, there are some benefits for moderate consumption of wine and perhaps other alcoholic beverages, but if you drink too much, it'll kill you. But coffee, the data is showing that the more you drink, the better you are. That's an amazing, and of course, it makes me feel real good because I drink a lot of it. But that's a new revelation, and I'm sure it's good for business.
Well, it's important information. There was bad science in the past, in the 90s, that led to a concern that coffee may possibly be a carcinogen. You know, have some kind of negative effect. Good science since then has proven the health benefits of coffee, and in fact, the World Health Organization has classified coffee as not carcinogenic. So in other words, it's healthy for you. Coffee is good for you. It has benefits of disease protection against some cancers. There's some research that indicates that it's a natural aid to block the development of Alzheimer's and different health concerns. But I think the most important characteristic of coffee is what it does to facilitate your emotions, how it many times it relaxes people. Other times it motivates folks. There's a social aspect of being healthy. And I do believe mental health and physical health are tied together, and that coffee is a facilitator, a social facilitator. It is a very good product. Now, Jim, I'll tell you, there is a limit. There is a limit.
There is a limit?
Yeah,
you're
I do
break
believe
my heart.
That at the end of the day, 4 to 6 cups of coffee a day is probably an upper limit simply because of the caffeine. But we have a great decaf product and half-caf product that allows you to drink coffee throughout the day.
It is something that I should consider, and I do drink decaf every now and then, but nothing's better than the hard stuff. We'll talk more with Matt Siraj. 877-217-5757 is your number. Back with more Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. A few more minutes with Matt Siraj, the chairman of Community Coffee. He is a fourth-generation operator of the family business, and this entity has been in Baton Rouge for 100 years, celebrating its centennial as we speak. But beyond that, it is in 22 states, and I would suspect that there aren't many family-owned businesses of any kind, but especially in the coffee business, operating in multiple states.
The family business in coffee is greatly disappearing. I can tell you that one of the optimistic things about coffee is we have a lot of small coffee roasters all across the country. There's 6,000 small roasters in America that are the future of coffee. It's always been a family structured business, and I believe that we will see great family businesses return to coffee. But as I sit here today, there's less than a handful of private family companies left of any great size in the coffee industry, mainly due to the difficulty of the business. It's a tough business. Again, it's international trade against global companies. And the best thing we have going in our direction is the strength of our brand, of this community that has supported Community Coffee Company, and word of mouth. We are a special brand in many people's lives. We don't take that for granted. We see that as a great opportunity to spread, our vision and our desire. And Jim, frankly, our desire is to be the most beloved, trusted brand of coffee in North America.
All right. 3332 Partridge Lane is the corporate headquarters of Community Coffee, one of the few national corporations in the city and one of the oldest. And you have served 7 million cups of community coffee to U.S. troops. This is a worthy endeavor, and I would imagine military personnel, they like to drink coffee as much or maybe more than anybody else. It's a stressful job.
It's a stressful job. And 7 million cups since we started counting. We've been shipping coffee to our military around the world. It's so important. Today, as I sit here, there's 1.3 million men and women serving in our military, and that's over 1 million reasons that they should get the comfort of a cup of coffee from home.
All right. Here's a question from Tracy at the Capitol asking how you, Matt Siraj, juggle your real estate responsibilities with running Community Coffee. You're involved in a lot of different endeavors.
Right. I'm involved with Community Coffee and CC's Coffee House. My brother, Hank, is actually in the real estate side. So he handles that expertly. I keep focused just on the coffee retail and manufacturing operations.
You have how many locations in the Baton Rouge area?
Well, for CC's Coffee House, there's 13 locations in Baton Rouge. The count is about 45 in total in Louisiana for CC's Coffee House.
Well, you're going to be around, I think, for a little while longer. 100 years is a long time, but you're fortunate that you got into business with a growth spurt, that it's been you've been capable of growing as the industry has.
We really have. We've got a great culture in the company. Our core values are very strong. We believe in doing business right, keeping our word, empowering folks to make decisions and take ownership. This brand is owned by so many. And as an employee of Community Coffee, you feel the ownership. You get excited about what you do every day. And we want to make the home team proud.
All right. Ernie questions me saying that should you drink coffee to relax? I do it to relax. It's kind of a comfort beverage, but it does have caffeine. And as you note, if you drink enough of it, you're probably going to get the jitters.
Yeah, it has two distinct paths. One is to, athletes drink, consume coffee before the exercise and mm-hmm. caffeine to get, the blood pumping and for the cardiovascular. But so many people, like myself and apparently like you, I drink coffee to relax, to listen, to visit. I find it very comforting and calming to an extent until I get past maybe those 4 to 6 cups.
I bet there was a lot of coffee consumed with this polar vortex over the last few days.
Yeah.
Talk about needing something warm. These diners, you got to commend the people who worked 50 degree below zero temperatures, but coffee is a big part of life, not only in cold weather climates, but as we know, in warm weather places. I would think Louisiana is among the per capita largest consumer of coffee in the United States.
Coffee is part of our culture. I think our identity at the Port of New Orleans as being the primary port for coffee over much of the history of this country really has defined coffee as part of our culture. And we think about coffee in our lives. We tell stories. We all have stories of that first cup of coffee and with a grandparent or sitting at a table and talking about something that was a life changing event, mm-hmm. good and bad. We want to hear those stories. That defines who we are as a people, defines who we are as a brand. And in our centennial, we're actually collecting those stories. We believe it's 100 stories, 100 reasons, to really understand the significance of coffee in our lives. And we encourage people to send their stories to us.
Well, yeah, if they want to do that, what's the best way to do it?
At communitycoffee.com, we have a blog, and they can contribute there. There's also an extension of communitycoffee.com/100 years. But email us. Just email us on the package and go to our website and tell us your story or call us and we'll write your story. You just tell us it and we'll record it. These are part of our history. We believe it's a living history, and storytelling is one of the best ways to convey the emotion of a brand and connect us with ultimately our consumers.
Well, thank you so much. It's good to see you, and congratulations on 100 years. You've been around for almost half of those. Not quite.
Not quite.
When did you know you were going to be the heir to the throne?
I believe I always wanted to be in the company. I worked in the company as a child, but it was my first trip to Brazil. I lived there for a while, and I was on a coffee farm. And I remember standing there looking over the coffee fields and people working the fields, and I'd gotten to know them. And it was an emotional movement. And I committed myself to coffee at that time. I will be in this industry hopefully for the rest of my life, a long life. And, I've got an obligation to not only the employees of Community Coffee to grow our great brand, but to the people, the 25 million farming families that produce coffee around the world. It's a great product. And I'd like to do my part in increasing its consumption and acknowledgement that coffee could be a great-tasting beverage and a great-tasting experience for many generations to come.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. And good luck.